Well, the scoreboard said I lost today, but what the scoreboard doesn't say is what it is I have found.
Welcome back to the Tennis Connected Studios for August 27, 2017. I'm Nima Naderi alongside Parsa Sammy, and we're here this week to preview the U.S. Open from Flushing Meadows. This week's podcast is brought to you by Grand Slam Tennis Tours. For anyone out there looking to get down to the U.S. Open, either the first or second week, make sure to hit them up for all your ticket and traveling needs. Let's welcome our co-host for this week, Parsa. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. I'm close to you, right next to you, actually, for the first time in a while.
Yes, and it's awesome to be here in New York, getting ready for main draw action, which begins tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. for anybody who is in the city. You're going to have some great tennis on tap, beautiful weather throughout the week as well, a little bit under-seasonal, which means it's great for viewing. You're not getting those really hot, humid conditions that are debilitating to not only the players, but the fans, you know, for extended, you know, viewership-wise. So, Parsa, we enter, you know, the final slam of the season, you know, the walking wounded. We're not getting a lot of the top names, especially on the men's side, are not in action. We just had Raonic withdraw a couple of days ago. Bigger name, Murray, who kind of screwed up the draw. I know a lot of people are going to be upset for me saying that, but the reality of it is, I know you have some different thoughts on that, but he kind of wanted to wait till the last moment. And, you know, I don't know if it's necessarily Murray's fault, because I think you have to be a little bit lenient with the rules, right? Like, you know, do you put Cilic now in his spot at the bottom? I don't know. I mean, like, I think you got to be a little bit lenient towards that, and you can break up Fed and Nadal. I know a lot of people are like, oh, we want to see that Fedal final, but, I mean, hello, you know what I mean? That's not a given that that's going to happen at this stage of the year and with everything these guys have gone through, and they've never played here. That's also another indicator that it's going to be a very tough thing for them to accomplish at 36 for Federer, at 31 for Nadal, right at the tail end of, you know, basically both of their careers. So it's going to be interesting to see how that unfolds. But we got 128 guys and girls in each draw. Women's is obviously noticeably missing Serena Williams, but everybody else is pretty much there. Sharapova is going to give it a go tomorrow night against Halep. Blockbuster, you know, biggest first round match on the women's side.
What in the entire draw, I think, men's or women's, right?
100%. Yeah. 100%. And it's going to be awesome to see. And I think if Sharapova gets through that, then she's got a chance of doing some damage. But I don't think that left arm is ready to go. And I just think she's there because she wants to play. And she's sick of not playing Grand Slams for like almost 2 years, right? So it's, you know, we'll see what happens with her tomorrow night. But, I mean, any thoughts now coming into, you know, this event? We had a week off since our last podcast. We had some smaller events in Winston-Salem and Connecticut this week, with Gravilova winning her first title over Sibulkova yesterday. We had Batista Agut winning yesterday against Zoomer in Winston-Salem. Good old, you know, RBA just winning those 250s and plugging along. So I think you're going to see a very up and down U.S. Open with anything can happen. And I think it's, you know, the land of opportunity in one of the cities of opportunity of the world in New York. And it's going to be awesome to see. Before we get into the draw analysis on the men's and women's side, what are some of your thoughts overall leading us in here?
Yeah, totally a confusing U.S. Open. I'm not sure where it's going to go, what's going to happen, which could lend two ways. And biting off of the McGregor-Mayweather fight last night, you didn't know how that was going to play out, and it ended up being a huge success. And you hope the U.S. Open is going to end up in that same exact way, as that you don't know the players that are going to be there. You're not sure whether Federer and Nadal and the big name guys are going to be able to work their way through the draw, or whether it's going to be a young upstart, or whether it's going to be an opportunist. You know, it could be somebody that we're unsure of. Sort of a couple years ago, we got that Cilic-Nishikori final. No one expected it, and no one thought that it was going to happen that way. And
get ready for that again.
It could very well happen. A little bit easier this time because there's actually no, not all the superstars are there. You know, if Wawrinka is in the final against Djokovic, you're not shocked. Or if it was Federer and Murray, you wouldn't be shocked. But you know, it could be something like, I mean, it could be Tsonga versus you know, Lajovic for the title. I mean, it is, anything is possible and anything can happen. And Nima, a little bit about you know, the good old USA. If there was an American player that was gonna make a run on U.S. soil, wouldn't this be the draw that it would happen?
It would, and I think, you know, it would be great to see, because, you know, one thing that, you know, Steve Tinger had, he did a preview a couple of days ago leading into the tournament. He had one really good point where he said once tournaments get underway, kind of who is not there is not really that important, and it's all about what's happening. And every tournament kind of takes on, especially at a major, life of its own, like the Ostapenko stories and, you know, Fed Nadal at the beginning of the year and, you know, Cilic at Wimbledon, for instance. And people just kind of get into that and they forget that Djokovic is not there and Murray is not there and Serena is not here and stuff like that. So I think that's a great point to keep in mind. I think, you know, when that first ball toss goes up tomorrow, you know, coverage starts on ESPN Tennis Channel, you know, BBC, CB, whatever you have in that world, in your country or whatever, BBC. I think that, it's go time. And I think people are going to forget about everything else, and especially the fans in attendance are going to appreciate the action and around the world as well, too, because there's so many different players.
Yeah, and the people are there to see the best players in the world compete at that very moment, and they're going to be raucous, and they're going to pick their sides, and it's still going to be New York, it's still going to be the U.S. Open, and it's going to be exciting all around. I think you're going to feel the energy all the way through to your couch at home. I know that about that.
Yeah, and I think one thing I'm looking forward to seeing tomorrow is the new Armstrong Stadium. It's kind of like a makeshift stadium to put in the parking lot. So, I mean, kudos to the USGA. It's going to be cool. And then they're going to get the real deal ready for 2018. So that's going to be nice to see next year. But listen, I mean, you know, let's get into the draws because we got a lot to cover. We got Rafa coming in once again as the number one player in the world. And he said that after he lost to Kyrgios last week that, you know, I got to come in here and prove how I'm number one. And you don't really hear that kind of talk from Nadal. I think he has, I don't want to say a chip on his shoulder, but I think that he feels that, you know, this is probably the last time he's going to be number one, potentially. He could ride it for a year or so. Depends on if he can win his tournament or not, because he'll get so many points to keep him going. But I think for Rafa, for him to say something like that, he's not happy with the way he's playing.
Yeah, he's never thought like that, though. I look at that as a dangerous type of thing. So
I think so, yeah.
He's
too
entering,
much pressure on himself.
Yeah, he's entering in a mindset that he has not been successful in the past. You know, I sort of equate it to or build the analogy to when he didn't trust his body because he was getting injured so much.
Yes.
You know, if his mind is thinking in such a way that he can't trust himself, and he's being obviously very candid and very honest about it, I don't know if that lends itself to some sort of success. You know, it's very, right? These guys, especially Federer and Nadal, are always like, oh, I haven't looked past the first round. You know, that's where it all starts for me. I haven't looked, you know, my second round match is, my third round match, my fourth round, my quarter, my semi. Whereas that sort of statement can be taken as, I'm looking at this tournament as an entirety, and if I don't get to a certain round, then it's really not a success. And he's never played like that before. He's always tackled each opponent for the way it was and what he had to do. And you know, I'd feel much better if he said something to the effect of, well, you know, it's true, I have to prove myself as number one, but you know, I can only play the first guy first, and that's all I'm going to do. If he said something like that, or if he does believe that, then watch out. If he is in a different mindset indeed, and at an older age, then it could be dangerous for him.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when you look at his draw, he definitely has the potential to really work himself into it. You know,
he should get through it.
Yeah, he's got Lajovic, who's a very talented guy, kind of has a Federer-esque game. He's got a really nice one-hander, good extension on that shot. I definitely see him, you know, rolling through that one in straights. And he's got Taro Daniel, Japanese player who's played in America. He's played all over the place, Barcelona, Spain, everywhere. He played his hometown favorite, Tommy Paul, home country favorite. Paul's had a good summer, made some quarters and a few events. Exciting guy to watch. So I think either guy doesn't have the weaponry, so to speak, all three of those guys in the first couple of rounds to get through. And I would be shocked if Nadal doesn't, you know, waltz into the third round. At that stage, Gasquet, I mean, what is he, 20,000-0 against him? He's going to get through that one, even if, you know, Gasquet does get there. And then potentially, as you had mentioned before, before we got on air, that Burdick might be able to give him some problems, but...
Or Fognini's sitting there, too. Fognini's, he's not in form, but
no, he's not,
he doesn't need to be in form.
He doesn't. He gets up for playing Nadal. And I think that's another thing you might see transpire if they do tussle in the third round. But I think this is a different Nadal than the last couple of times that they played. And Fognini's not playing as well, and Nadal is playing better, even though he's not playing that well. And I think for Nadal, it's a tough situation, I mean, because he's not playing his best. But it's such a, let's be honest, a weak tournament in terms of the players entered compared to what it could be if everybody was healthy, that he should, you know, do very well here and go deep. So for that reason, I got to go with Nadal to make, you know, to make the to semifinals. What do you have?
Yeah, and for one logical reason, I also have Nadal going through, and that's because I believe class gets through when there's no class that is actually separating or ahead above, and there's really no one there to challenge him in that way. And so I think he's the best player in the section, even on a hard court, even at a decimated level. He's still the best guy there. So I think for that reason, Nadal goes through.
And what do you think about someone like Dimitrov? Do you think he's got, I mean, he's got a pretty easy draw. Relatively speaking, I think he can definitely get to the fourth round, potentially maybe losing one set to a guy like maybe, you know, Benenin or Rublev in the second round, because both those guys are feisty. They've had some decent patches this year playing well. You know, Rublev's up and comer. Then you got Goffin. I don't know how healthy he is still. He's really struggling against Kyrgios last week. Kyrgios is struggling too. We'll get to him in a bit, but I definitely think that. Yeah, I mean,
Dimitrov's the guy that, you know, he's the kind of guy that could win this kind of tournament. I'm not going to lie to you, because he plays at a 90 to 95% level all the time. And so the great ones that play greater beat him. But other than that, he's going to beat everybody he's supposed to. I think he's in form. He's confident. He just won Cincinnati.
Exactly.
He's feeling good. So I think he has an expectation of himself and knows what to expect from himself. And so, you know, he can win this thing. And this is the kind of tournament where he may not have to play multiple superstars in order to get it done. It's just probably just one, maybe two. So we'll see. Everyone's got to watch out for him as well.
Now we move on to quarter number two, led by RF. Roger Federer, he's got a really cool match in the first round against Francis Tiafoe. And I would definitely say from all of the top guys, Federer's got the toughest draw. He's got Tiafoe, probably play Yuzny next, probably play Verdasco or Lopez after that. To play, who does he have after that? Maybe Kyrgios in the fourth round, which would be tremendous. Labor Day weekend, get ready for that one. I'm crossing my fingers that happens. And then in the distant future from there, we've got guys like Delpo lurking. I don't think Thiem will get there, although he's got a very workable draw.
Batista Agut
could just be solid and just power through some rounds. He's not going to win the thing, but he could definitely make the quarters. Delpo, if he's feeling good, Parsa, and he loves this tournament more than anything, I think he could be dangerous. I don't know what his health is like. I mean, everybody's got a little bit of a question mark over their heads. A lot of these guys, you know, they're either not here or they're here and they're injured. Maybe a guy like Mannarino, who's had a good summer, playing some of the best tennis of his career. Fritz might try to do something, but I don't know how ready he's going
to
be.
He sort of needs to, huh?
He does, exactly. But you got a lot of wild cards here, right? You got Patrick Kempson.
Kipson, yeah.
Kipson. Is that the guy you were talking about, right?
Yeah, he won Kalamazoo, yeah. The national title. Three years.
Yeah, so then you got Fratangelo, another wild card. Fritz, wild card. And then De Muener, Australian, another wild card. So you got four wild cards just in this section. I mean, you know, you got to be... And then you got a bunch of qualifiers. I mean, there's a lot of guys who are very lowly ranked, so to speak. And I think, like I said, if Federer can get through his first couple rounds, you know, that bodes well for him to move forward. Now, we saw some good stuff from Nick Kyrgios last week in Cincinnati, making the finals. He looked like he could have very well lost in the first round to David Goffin. Gets through that, gets through Dolgopolov, then he starts thinking, oh, okay, he's playing well. Gets through Nadal, gets through Karlovic, you know, gets through Ferrer, a lot of good players there, right? Gets into the finals, loses to Dimitrov. If Kyrgios is feeling better, nobody really knows the state of his hip. I think if he loses in this tournament, maybe third round, has to retire, you probably see him done for the year. He's going to have hip surgery. He'll get ready for Australia. If he can make a deep run, I know he's playing that Laver Cup. I think he's subbing in, or not subbing in, but I think he's playing that in a few weeks' time with Federer and Burdick and all those guys and Nadal. And then Davis Cup, he's got some duties there. So he's slated to play, and we'll see, you know, see what he does there. But for me, you know, I've been a supporter of Kyrgios, but I think that he's got enough here to make the semifinals and do some damage. I don't like what I've been seeing from team. Just does not look organized out there on a hard court. And for that reason, I'm taking Nick Kyrgios to make the semifinals. What do you have?
Yeah, I think it's a terrific pick. But my only question with him is his fitness.
Yes.
I feel like before the semifinal, he could definitely get there if it's straight sets for most and maybe a four setter somewhere. But if he gets into trouble for no reason against the nobody, it's just going to drain him. So he can't go five sets in the first round, or in the second round, or the third round, for that matter. And so that's where I question his durability and his persistence, really, that affects his mental persistence more than anything.
Yes.
You know, and for that reason, I just have to, although I don't think he's going to win it, I have to go with Federer in this section. It's just hard for me to go against him until I see his back not 100%. And I think he's got something to prove in New York. He used to dominate this tournament, and he hasn't been for a long time now. So I think he's got something to do. And he seems to be this year ahead above everybody anyway. And so I think that Federer for me in this section.
Okay. Now, Parsons, this is where it starts getting interesting. We go to the bottom half of the draw. That's been completely decimated, especially with Murray pulling out. You know, he had an amazing draw. And you could have maybe seen him make the finals, but you know, he said, listen, I'm not healthy enough. And he really threw a curveball at everybody. And Cilic has taken his place. And then, you know, just a sequence of other changes that have happened and not really favorable to the actual draw. But with that said, you know, we got to look at quarter number three. We got Sam Querrey there, who's had a nice summer, playing well this year. We have John Isner, again, who's had a pretty good summer. A couple of Americans, big, lanky guys, tall guys, who are definitely want to do something. You got Jack Sock, who's had a terrible summer, been a little bit injured, but you know, looks like he had a good training block coming in last week, playing with Kyrgios out in Kansas City. You have a guy like Kevin Anderson, who's been playing well. Jules Muller, who's playing. Bernie Tomic, who's playing his first tournament since Wimbledon. And then you got Alex Zverev, who everybody's talking about, oh, this guy's ready to go, he's ready to win a slam. But is he, Parsa? Is he durable enough to do it? And I kind of still have my question marks on that. And I look at this section, and I'm like, who has played the best tennis under the radar, who's not going to have a lot of pressure on them? And the you know, the only guy I can come up with is Kevin Anderson. He's had a good summer, made DC finals, and he was pretty deep. Couple other events as well too, and I think that, you know, when you look at his game, he's a very professional guy, works very hard, looks like he's healthy now, looks like he's durable. You know, he got to the quarters a few years back, he beat Murray here in a nice match, and I think that he's got enough firepower to do it. And as a result of that, I'm going with Kevin Anderson to make the semifinals here in a pretty bold pick, I have to say.
But yeah, definitely. You know, for me, it's a question of, I have to look at this section and say, who do I think really is the next in line? And you know where I'm going with that if I say that. You know, for me, Alex Zverev or Sasha Zverev or whatever they want to call him, he's the guy that is going to be the next stud on the ATP World Tour. So he's looking for a tournament where he can catapult onto the world stage. Not that he hasn't already, but he's popular amongst tennis circles, but no one else really knows him outside of the sport. And this is the type of tournament that you win or you go very deep in and you start to create a brand for yourself and a name for yourself worldwide. And so I think that this is going to be his huge opportunity to show the world his welcome party and show them that what he can do. And I don't know if he's ready to capitalize on it. He has won two Masters Series, so he can play under big match situations. Not sure about the best of five durability, although I would favor him in durability versus Kyrgios. And, you know, for me, I have to go with the guy I feel like is in the best form, and that's Zverev for me right now.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to see it. There's just quite a lot of, you know, he's supposed to do it, but he's never done it.
Right.
And so that's really the thing. And Darren King's a cool guy. He's a fun guy to watch, and, you know, I wish him well because he's come from an interesting story himself. He's been grinding a lot of challengers, and now he's in the main, qualified again for this tournament. So, you know, he's going to bring some noise, and Zverev's got some big hitters, man. I mean, you know, likelihood is that Vesely is going to be a second round opponent. George hasn't been playing that well this summer. Vesely's going to come at you with a lot of heat. He's got a big lefty serve. He beat Djokovic a couple of years back in Monte Carlo. Galbis, he's just ready to go. He's ready to, you know, hit some big bombs and massive backhands.
Either way, huh?
You got Jules Muller lurking there. You got Sock. I mean, got a lot of firepower in this section. So for that reason, I think at some stage, Zverev will do some damage here. But I think that Anderson just has that touch more durability in a five-set format. If it was a best-of-three-set tournament, 100% I see Zverev making the semis, maybe finals. But because it's a five, that's why I think that he might get upended at some stage.
It's going to be a challenge to what he's been doing in the gym, that's for sure.
Exactly. And now moving into the fourth quarter, which has completely been, again, messed up because of Murray's withdrawal. We have Cilic as the fifth seed, taking Murray's spot. And we also have Tsonga as the eighth seed. You got Robin Haase moving as the 32nd seed. Ramos Fonoles as 20th. You got Carreño Busta as the 12th seed. Lucas Pui, 16th, quarterfinalist last year. And then David Ferrer, who's been playing some good tennis as of late. Diego Schwartzman, another feisty guy. And this is going to surprise you, Parsa, but I'm going with David Ferrer to the semifinals. And this is the reason why. He's rejuvenated. He's had a terrible last, you know, year and a half, but he won Bastad early in summer. You know, he's been playing well the last couple of weeks. Changed his racket from a Babolat Pure Drive. He's still under contract with them, but he's using a Wilson Steam racket that's paint-jobbed. It's not even paint-jobbed, it's black, and it's got the two Babolat strips. But he's not using a Babolat anymore. And I think that racket is doing wonders for him. He's feeling good. He's feeling confident. You know he's going to grind. Kukushkin's a talented guy. That's going to be maybe even a five-setter. But I think Ferrer gets through that. And, you know, he's going to have a decent tournament here. I don't know how Cilic is feeling. I mean, he completely broke down after the Wimbledon final and he hasn't played since. Says that he's healthy and he's ready to go, no problems. But again, you got to stay with the nature of this quarter and this tournament in the second, in the bottom half. And for that reason, I go David Ferrer semifinals.
Yeah, and for a lot of reasons, I don't know who to pick. Although I was debating between Ferrer and Cilic. The thing is that I feel that if they get into that third, or is it a third round matchup? It is a third round matchup. I feel like by that point, Cilic's cobwebs will be done. I think he's under pressure the first couple of rounds because he hasn't been playing. But if he does get through and he starts to gain a rhythm, we know that he can strike very quickly and stay hot for a very long time. And so I've got Cilic coming through in this section. Based on history, based on big match play, based on Wimbledon, I think that that he's the class player in this section. And it's tough to go against Ferrer because I liked a lot of what I saw in Nima, but what I didn't like in Cincinnati about Ferrer was his ball toss was... It was unusual, just sailing all over the place, and that made me think that under pressure that it may break down. In a best of five, I'm not sure because it will go more towards his legs and his grinding ability. So yeah. Maybe he can eke out and continue to battle and fight.
Yeah.
But who knows?
But you know, when you look at this quarter, Parsa, he has the ability to grind, because if you look at this. How many of these guys can really blow him off the court?
Well, that's why Cilic, that's exactly what went through my mind to that point, is that match.
But how,
if they're both in form, Cilic is definitely the one who's going to take it.
But why hasn't he played since Wimbledon? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the thing. Like, if he's, like, is it just a mental thing? I don't know. But he has played well here.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's won it, made the semis, and he's in that position to go deep again. Another guy... It's Thanasi Kokkinakis. I mean, if he gets hot, he's feeling rejuvenated as well, too. He's going to have an interesting one with Tipsarevic you know, in the first round. But I think as he moves forward from there, then he's going to have the ability to maybe cruise and win a few matches. And I think that the New York crowd is really going to get behind him because he has a type of persona, and they're going to be able to embrace him. But again, he hasn't really been in this environment for a while because he's been injured for 2 years.
Yeah, hopefully, hopefully it just won't be a sleeper. That's all.
Exactly.
You know, hopefully it'll be someone exciting who's pumping their fists and getting the crowd engaged and involved and have the ability to really, you know, just connect with everybody and let the TV viewers also feel the energy.
So, Parsa, let's rewind here before we get into the women's draw. I have Nadal, Kyrgios, Kevin Anderson, David Ferrer as my semifinalists. I'm going with Nadal over Kyrgios, maybe 4 or 5 sets. And then I'm going with Anderson over David Ferrer.
Wow.
5 sets. And then I'm having Nadal winning the U.S. Open, just grinding it. And I think he's going to win the U.S. Open straight sets over Kevin Anderson in the finals. What do you have?
Very good. I've got a Nadal-Federer first time at the Open in my first semifinal. And I've got Federer going through there and Zverev and Cilic in a blockbuster. I think that's going to be a terrific match. And I've got Zverev advancing through that. And then I've got both decimated guys, Federer and Zverev, on their last wits' end. And I think it's just going to be a repeat of Cincinnati again. Of Montreal.
Mm.
In that the healthier of the two ended up winning. And I think Zverev, this could be his time. I'm not sure that, even though I'm picking him, I'm not 100% sure that he's going to actually do it. But man, what an opportunity. If he wants to do it and he has put in the work, it's going to pay off right here.
This is the time for sure. Now, before we move on to the women's, I need a wild dark horse pick or two for me, Parsa. I'm going with my first one, Adrian Mannarino. You know, crafty lefty. Always like watching him play. He's had a great summer. I think he has a good enough draw to maybe squeak through and do some damage. And then another guy I really like what I've been seeing from him is Jared Donaldson. You know, I mean, you talk about a guy who maximizes himself, takes everything he does very seriously. Work ethic is 100%. And I think
and that continues to improve. He's just on an incline. That's all that he is.
Yeah, exactly. So for me, I'm going with Adrian Mannarino and Jared Donaldson as my two dark horses, men's side.
Yeah, and I'm going with people you know, but that, you know, in this kind of draw, who knows? Again, you can make a career out of this kind of tournament. So I look at, even though it's been a sort of not a clear-cut summer for him, David Goffin as a guy who can take advantage of opportunities. He's an opportunist. And I also look at Steve Johnson, a competitor that will love the crowd in New York. The problem with Johnson is that he'll toil around with guys that he should beat in straights. He'll beat them in 4 or 5 sets.
Yeah.
And then by the time the third or fourth round comes around, he just won't have the gas left. So... but I look at him as a guy who can get hot, who can serve and hit forehands all day long and will outcompete probably everyone he plays. But I'm not sure, but that's why he's a dark horse. If he puts it together, who knows what can happen.
And it's, you know, I would agree with you on that. But I just want everybody out there to know that my definition of dark horse is different than Parsons. I go with guys who you don't even are unseated and who are really out there. And you're going with a couple of guys like a David Goffin, a former top 10 player. I get what you're saying because nobody's looking at us as the favorite. But basically what I'm ultimately saying is that my dark horses are a little bit more impressive. So let's see.
Your dark horses are so dark they're not going to make the quarters.
Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see how it transpires. Okay, so as we move on to the women's side, we have Pliskova coming in as the number one ranked player in the world and as a debuting as well in as her first major as a number one. And it's you know, parts of it's very interesting because we look at the carousel of the women's draw and it's this every week somebody's winning. And I think you're going to see that again in this tournament. But when you look at the men's tour, we always have that continuity. You know, we see the same guys basically winning, getting deep, all that. I think you're definitely going to see some crazy stuff happen on the men's side. But after musing through the women's draw, I think you're going to see a lot more continuity in this particular women's draw. And you're going to see a lot of the players that we think should go deep actually go deep.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
And I think that for that reason, you look at Pliskova's first quarter. She has the likes of, you know, Gibbs, who's, you know, that feisty player. You see her social media is on point. She's doing stuff with the Tennis Channel. But again, you know, I don't see her doing much here. Lisicki, you know, former really good player. Again, I'm not sure what her state is like. Strykova, you have Kiki Mladenovic, Radwanska, who's never really, you know, lived up to what she should have done in her career, let's be honest. And then, you know, to round out this quarter, you have Kuznetsova, again, could definitely do some damage here. Coco Vandeweghe. I still think her best surface, for me, is grass.
Grass, yeah.
I think she's got an athletic enough game, nice slice. You know what I mean? She can get in, slice serve and all that stuff. And Safarova, I mean, again, you can't really count her out. She's a great player.
How's CeCe Bellis done this summer?
She's okay. She's okay. I mean, I know you're very, you know, fond of her game.
Yeah.
And her demeanor. And
well, she's young, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And I think I see great things for her, you know, in the long term.
Like 3 years from now.
Yeah, 3 years, 2 to 3 years. But in this particular event, I just can't see her getting through the big names, like a big, big name. And so, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Pliskova is such a cerebral type of player. Doesn't really, I think, get in. She's very robotic, let's be honest, right? And I think that for that reason, I don't think the moment really takes over on her too much. And she likes this tournament. She made the finals last year. And I think she's going to have a decent run again this year. And I mean, for sure, we'll talk about it in a bit, but I'm taking her at least to make the semifinals. What do you have?
Yeah, I also have her in the semi as well. For exactly those reasons, I feel like she's going to get the good vibes back, and you know, she's going to want to advance and want to play her best tennis, and I think she will.
For sure. Okay, as we move on now, we have Svitolina, recent Toronto winner, had a great year. I mean, there's nothing else we can really say.
Even a very personal favorite.
Yes. And then we have Bouchard, who, I mean, you know, I'm just sitting here. I mean,
can
I
would stop talking about her now.
Yeah, you know, people.
Does it come to that point?
You know, I'm sitting here shaking my head, as you can see, Parson. I mean, did she get through the first round? Maybe. Is she going to beat Svitolina? 100% she's not. So second round max for her. Moving on, let's not waste too much time on the Canadian. We have Gravilova, who just won a tournament. She's gonna very feisty player, very fun to watch. You know, she's very passionate. She really loves the sport, and I think you know, you might see some good stuff for her. What do you think? Do you know her first round opponent, Parsa?
Ali Kick.
Yeah.
You know,
junior.
No. She actually had cancer. She's
really.
Yeah. Wow. She's got a great story.
Quali too.
Quali. Yeah. I think she went to Vanderbilt, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
And she's just a hard worker and has put in a lot of time. And but she's your version of a grind, you know, a journey woman, so to say, someone who really belongs in the 40 to 70 range in the world. You know, she'll get there if she plays her best tennis, okay. You know, but the top level isn't there.
Okay. Moving on, we have Madison Keys. We got to put her in the conversation, and Ostapenko. I mean, listen, that's another, you know, this is actually, I would say, a pretty tough quarter. I mean, you got Ostapenko, reigning French Open winner. You know, she hits the cover off of everything. Again, hasn't done much this summer.
And Madison, she can't, Keys, though, right? Because the movement is actually, it's so weird, right? And she had a lot of time at Roland Garros and understood the balance of the surface and was able to club the ball. But then she gets onto a faster surface and she just doesn't have the time to hit the ball the same way. And so she's just really a fraction of what she can be on clay.
Exactly. And then you have the likes of Vesnina, who won Indian Wells earlier this year, massive tournament. Madison Keys, who won Stanford, you know, has played well this summer. This is her time. You know, she's got to do something here. I mean, because every year is a year. You know, new players are coming up. Something else happens to you.
Yeah, no, it has to be now.
And Keys said as well, too, in her, you know, in her pre-tournament press conferences, this is the healthiest I've ever been. Fittest I've ever been. You know, after my wrist surgery, I really got down to business, really fixed up my fitness, and you know, now I'm ready to take everything to another level. So, you know, we wish her well. But again, you know, I don't know. I'm just feeling that something's going to happen, and she's going to get upended at some point. Because as great as she is, and as talented as she is, I feel that she's very one-dimensional. And I think that she can hit the cover off of everything, but she I mean, if somebody can stand toe-to-toe with her on the baseline, don't really think she has anything else to add to the equation. And I think that's a layer that she's going to have to add to everything that she has. You have Pavlyuchenkova, a very, you know, professional player. And then you got Kerber, you know, last year's winner. Again, I'm not sure what she's going to do. She's got Osaka in the first round. That's going to be a tough match for her.
Yep.
She might even lose that match.
Who's a local girl, Osaka?
Yeah. She lives in New York. Yeah?
She grew up in New York.
Oh, nice.
Moved to, I think, to Florida, to Bradenton. And but she played our local junior tournaments.
What a character she is.
Yeah.
Very undercover. Like, she's very soft-spoken, but she's, you know, actually has an amazing personality. Anyways, for me, to be completely honest, every quarter, including the men's, that we've previewed so far, I would say the second quarter of the women's is the most exciting for me. And I think that with that said, I have to go with Svitolina into the semifinals.
I love the Nima Nadari Svitolina pick. Yes. Love it. And I think out of desperation, although I don't think it's going to end the way she wants it to,
yes.
I have to go with Madison Keys. I feel like she's going to get there.
The Americans, man.
It's Sport the Americans, and I think exactly what you said is going to happen. I think it's going to happen in a semi as a preview for the rest of my picks.
It would be great to see her at that stage regardless. Okay, now we have Kara Wozniacki, who, again, she doesn't impress me at all.
She won't win it.
She will not win it, 100%. She does not have the firepower. She just has to play one player that has, you know, some weapons, and she's going to be done. But with that said, on the road to that point, got a pretty good draw.
She's got a great draw.
She's got a great draw. And for that reason, I won't say exactly who I have just of Yana, even though you probably figured it out. But we have, you know, Lucic Baroni, who had that nice run in Australia earlier this year. You have Venus Williams, who again is going to come in, you know, playing, trying to do her best. You have Kvitova, who historically hasn't really done well here. Great to see her back there. I don't want to get too graphic, but there was an article on Twitter. And they actually showed her hand as she went to the hospital. And I'm telling you, Parsa, her fingers were hanging.
Oh, boy.
Like, just off of, like, this much skin, eh? And it was just crazy stuff. And after, I mean, the surgeon is, like, you got to sit down and say, well, this guy's a genius. Like, just beautiful, like, put it together. And, I mean, you know, God bless him. I mean, the guy did an amazing job. And amazing to see her back because she's such a wonderful lady.
Incredible.
And I think that this is going to be, you know, a great section with a lot of good feel-good stories. You know, you got, you know, crafty veterans like Cornet and Heather Watson and, you know, Yankovic, and who I thought she said she was going to pull the plug on the year, but it looks like she's going to be present. Caro Garcia, Rybakova, you got Garbine Muguruza, and, you know, a lot of people are talking about Muguruza, like, you know, yeah. She's the most informed player. Is she going to get it done? I'm not sure, you know what I mean, because she's, again, playing amazing, you know, coming off even winning Cincy, winning Wimbledon, a lot of big titles in recent times to her credit, but, you know, continuing to do it every single week, every couple months, winning slams and, you know, premier tournaments on the women's side is very difficult. So I think for that reason, I think, you know, Muguruza, she could lose to somebody like Rybakova or Garcia even before, you know, the quarters, and I'm going to go with, you know, the wily veteran who has proved that she can go deep this year but can't get it done at the end of the day, and that's Wozniacki for me to the semifinals.
Very good. For me, I think Muguruza, after her French Open victory a couple years back, took the plight and the pressure of being a Grand Slam champion and took it to heart and didn't respond correctly. And I think after Wimbledon, I think she's changed her ways and is able to embrace the pressure, to so to speak. And so for me, I think she is the one to beat. And I think she demands that she puts herself in a position to be in a championship contention. And I think that's a whole different animal when you're surprised to be there versus when you demand that of yourself and you know you can do it. And so for that reason, I think it's going to be Muguruza in the semi here.
Okay. And now as we move to the fourth and final quarter of this week's preview, it's led by Simona Halep, who's got, I mean, Maria Sharapova tomorrow night. That's going to be an amazing match. Awesome atmosphere. Now, how has Sharapova been playing? I mean, listen, she's put a lot of weight on this tournament. You know what I mean? She's debuting, you know, collaboration with, you know, Nike. So she's got a lot of pressure on her, and she's playing her first slam in a couple of years. She's got a lot of stuff on her plate. She's got the number 2 seed in the tournament, on top of everything, who's had a very solid season, no doubt. And this, to me, is a crackerjack match, because if she gets through this, I mean, why not, you know, go all the way? Go deep. And same thing for Halep. But you got to think, Parsa, that with all the experience and all the action that Halep has seen this year, it's going to be very tough for Sharapova to hit through that. I think Sharapova, you know, as the older we get, Parsa, we know this in all stages of our lives, not only on a tennis court, but you have more to lose. And you don't feel that freedom of getting through. And I think that, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's interesting. I mean, as I say that, Parsa just shows me the head-to-head. Sharapova has never lost to Halep, right?
Never lost to her. 6-0.
And what are we looking at score lines? Are they blowouts or close or what?
4-4, 3 sets. 3 sets, 3 sets, 5-5, 3-4.
Okay. And when was the last time they played?
2015.
15, okay.
On a hard court. It was straight sets.
Okay. So, I mean, her head-to-head bodes well for her. Really depends on how that left hand is feeling.
Which tells you she dictates in the matchup.
Exactly.
And that's the problem for her.
That's what I'm saying. So the point that I was trying to get back to was, for me, Sharapova has to kind of enter this match with her feistiness, you know, never say die attitude. Halep has that as well.
And you wish she was a little in form if you were her.
But you got to just swing for the fences. You got to attack second serves. You got to go big. Keep the rallies under 5 points. Serve massive. Just hit the cover off of everything. And I think if she plays like that, plays very big, a little bit red line, I think she can get through. But if she's kind of wants to grind and, you know, trade, then it's going to be a tough one for her. And I think Sharapova believes that she can win this match. I would have loved to have seen her play a little bit more in the summer. Make a quarters, make a semi somewhere. Then I think she would have done it. But because of that, I have to go with Halep to get through that match. That's my personal opinion. I mean, other players of note in this section are, you know, Konta, who a lot of people are hoping she can do something, especially back home for her. You know, Georges, Konju, who's a good hardcourter, Sibulkova. You know, you have Lauren Davis, who comes in as a 32nd seed. You have Sloane Stephens, right, Parsa? She was somewhere over here. You have Donna Vecic. So, I mean, you got some, you know, there she is, Sloane Stephens against a former finalist here, Roberta Vinci. That's going to be a nice one, nice contrast of styles. You have Donna Vecic, who has some decent results this summer, too. So I think bottom line is the winner of that first match between Halep and Sharapova, for me, goes all the way to the semifinals. Even though head-to-head, you know, landslide in favor of Sharapova, I still think that, for me, Halep is the favorite based on current form and everything that's transpired, especially in 2017. For me, Halep into the semifinals. What do you have?
Yeah, I have exactly that as well. I think that the matchup, although I was looking it up as we were talking, is so dominant in Sharapova's favor. If she would have just even played 2 matches and then retired out of a tournament, that would have been something. But it just hasn't been there for her preparation-wise. And Halep's not the type of player you can make an extra error here and there against and sort of get away with it. She will make you pay a very steep price for that.
Exactly.
And I think she'll be ready to go. And she is the informed player. She's the one that's getting deep into the events. And just like you said earlier, the women's side, it looks like we're going to be able to predict a lot better what's going to actually happen in the final weekend.
Exactly. Okay, my friend. So now we get into the tail end of this podcast. I have my 4 semifinalists. I have Pliskova, Svitolina, Wozniacki, Halep. From that batch, I have Pliskova getting through Svitolina. 3-setter based on sheer power. Going to be a good one. I have Halep comprehensively defeating Wozniacki, 3-2, something like that. And then I have Pliskova winning this event, solidifying herself as the number one player in the world, which I would be very happy for her. Something like a 7-5, 6-4. What do you have?
I've got Pliskova, Keys, Muguruza, and Halep as my semifinalists. And I've got Keys with a massive upset on that would be that Thursday, I believe, and upending the number one player in the world. May I say, paving way for the next number one player in the world. And so maybe you know what I'm getting at. But Muguruza Halep, I've got Muguruza going through.
Okay.
And I think that she's going to come out here and she's going to hold the Wimbledon title and the U.S. Open title and finish year-end number one.
Yeah, for sure. She would get that. Okay. So now, as we did with the men, we got to predict some dark horses on the women's side. For me, I'm going the Maria times two. I got Maria Sakkari. You've heard me talk about her early in the year. Very, crafty, very feisty Greek player. And I think that she's going to, have a great career. If does it happen this year, maybe not, maybe it will. But I like what I'm seeing from her, and I'm going to be out there watching her play for sure. And then I have Maria Sharapova. So that's a little bit of a contradiction, because I have her losing in the first round to Halep. But I want to kind of, get the best of both worlds here. So I'm going to go with, in the event that she can get through Halep, then, the floodgates are opening up and we're ready to go for Maria Sharapova as a wild card here. So that's what I got. I got Maria Sakkari and I got Maria Sharapova.
For me, I've got to go American style here and say that Sloane Stephens can make a deep run here and potentially create some havoc. Although her draw isn't favorable, she is in form, and who knows? Maybe she's going to learn something from her semifinal losses. The other player I look at is Coco Vandeweghe. Yep. In that, she'll embrace the New York crowd. She'll love it. I think it'll probably end up emotionally overtaking her, and she'll redline too far for too long and do something not so intelligent on the court, and that'll end up costing her. But hey, maybe she won't. Maybe she's grown up, and she certainly has the firepower and the tools to be very successful at a big event. So why not this one?
Okay, Parsa. So that's that's the way it's going to go down, I think. I just hope it's a good tournament, man. Because even though we have so many withdrawals in retirements and injuries and all that stuff for this season, it could still be a good tournament if the right things happen.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? So let's hope that the right things happen and we really end this Grand Slam calendar in style. And I'm really looking forward to getting out there tomorrow morning and watching most of it. So with that said, Parsa and I will be back again live together next week to review week one, preview week two, which is, pretty much our favorite one, right?
Yeah, we know what's going to happen for the most part.
Exactly, yeah. So with that said, anybody looking to get down to tomorrow's action beginning or next week's, make sure to hit up Grand Slam Tennis Tours for all your ticket and traveling needs. Parsa, thanks again for joining us this week.
Thank you.
Thanks everybody out there for listening. Make sure to send us any questions if you want us to answer anything further for our next podcast. As well, make sure to follow Parsa at Parsa Sammy, myself at Tennis Connected. You can also follow us on Instagram. I'll be posting a ton of stuff on our Instagram story throughout the fortnight, as well as on our site for Tennis Connected. We're going to have a host of writers previewing and reviewing all of today's action. And other than that, you can also subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, so you'll never miss another episode. Thanks again for listening. Get some sleep. Get ready for tomorrow's action. Be good, and we'll talk with you all soon. We'll be right back.